So we are in the 14th chapter of Gunas, and as we know, our mind is always under the influence of three gunas at different times. And one is sattva, which is purity, knowledge; rajas, which is passion, activity, aggression; and tamas, which is laziness, sleep, heedlessness. And we had summarized the first 10 verses of the Bhagavad Gita, that's what I had done last time. And then we had done the 11th verse, which talks about sattva. And in the 11th verse, it says, Sarva dvareshu dehesmin prakasha upajayate jnanam yada tada vidyat vivridham sattvam ityutah. So when sattva is predominant in us, when we are in a pure sattvic mood, what happens? The light of intelligence shines. Our understanding is clear. It's very brilliant. Our judgment is correct. Our knowledge is not covered. And our actions are correct and pure. And those are the sattvic activities are the ones that result in great achievements. All the great Mahatmas, the great scholars, even the great scientists, the great poets, the great writers like Shakespeare and Eliot and Kalidas, when they were in the height of their productive potential, when their mind was completely quiet in that sattvic mode, that's when all the beautiful creations come. Even the scientists making great discoveries, all of those activities occur only when the mind is quiet and when the mind is pure, when the mind is in a sattvic mode. So today we shall talk about rajas. Rajas is something we are all very familiar with and will feel right at home. The sattvic, sattvic is a little difficult. I don't think I fit there, but rajas, yeah, that's me. So we'll enjoy today's talk more because it will be right, as they say, right up our alley. So let's do the verse number 12. Lobah pravrittirarambah karmanamashamaspriha rajasyetani jayante vivride bharatarshabha. So the last line says, rajas vivridhe, when rajas is predominant, when rajas is dominating, O Bharatarshabha, O Arjuna, the joy of the Bharata family, the best of the Bharata family, when rajas vivridhe, when rajas is predominant, etani jayante, these are created, or this is what arises. Jayante means arises or is created. So what arises when rajas is predominant in us? Lobha. Lobha is greed. Greed. Pravritti. Pravritti is activity, constant activity, working. Karmanam arambaha, the beginning of activities. Ashama. Ashama means restlessness. And spriha is tremendous amount of desire, greed, you know, thirst, what they call is a tremendous longing, that is called spriha. So when rajas is predominant, these are the things that arise in us. So here Swami Chinmayananda in his commentary kind of says that they follow one by one. Why has Krishna said lobha pravrittir arambaha, then, you know, karmanam, you know, pravritti arambha, then karmanam ashamaha, restlessness in action, and spriha, longing. Why is that? I mean, is it random words have been selected? Gurudev says, no, it's not random. There is a logic to why the Lord is telling us these. So he says the first thing when rajas arises is greed. And greed, we know, is such a powerful force that we all suffer from that. You know, there is no end. You know, there is no end to how much money I should have, no end to how much power, no end to how many possessions, no end to want to acquire, hoard, possess, I have this, but I must also get this. You know, this also, if I have this business, but also if I can take over my neighbor's business and become more powerful, get a monopoly. I have this land, but if I can take over my this country, but now if I can capture this other country. So greed can be individual or can be national, can be of a faith. You know, I am dominant here, but now I need to spread my faith, which is, you know, spreading is good. But if you are going to do it with force or with, you know, bribes or giving, then it is, that is greed, that where I am trying to force others to accept my ideas. In fact, there is a very beautiful story. I'm sure a lot of you have heard it, but it's so nice. I'll just very briefly repeat it. It says Brahmaji, the creator, was distributing wealth. You know, when he created the world, he gave all the people, okay, I'll give you money. You go out and in the world and work and earn. And that's how you need money anyway to work in the world. So everybody came and everybody was asked to bring a pot. And he said, whatever pot size you bring, that much money you will get. So everybody brought in, you know, whatever somebody brought, big pot, small pot, and Brahmaji was distributing. One man comes, he has a pot, but it is covered with a cloth. And there is a hole in there. So nobody can see what it is. So, but he has the hole, and so he brings that. So Brahmaji starts putting wealth, you know, pouring and pouring, and it goes on and on and on, and the pot never seems to fill. What is this? What strange pot is this? And everybody's surprised. It goes on and on and on. They said, what is it? He said, no, Brahmaji, just keep filling. He said, no, but I want to see it. So he opens the cloth, and it was a human head. It was a human skull. You know, you keep on putting, it never fills. It's never enough. There is never enough. So the idea is that greed is such a powerful force that propels us to activity, constant activity, you know, working. Working is good, but when your work is propelled with greed, then it becomes selfish, you know, activity for me. What can I get out of it? As long as I am getting something, I'll work. But if it's a community project, who has time? I'm so busy. Don't have time. So the activity is good, but the activity is propelled by greed. Constant working day and night, morning to evening. And then he says, karmanam arambaha, beginning of activity. So what do you mean by beginning? You know, should we not begin activities? But when they say arambaha in our spiritual parlance, arambaha or beginning, it does not, even in the Bhagavad Gita also, he says, he never begins anything. You know, so he says, what do you mean? The devotee never begins anything. When they say beginning of activities, karmanam arambaha, what they mean is that if anybody thinks that I started something and I am the one doing it, then immediately the ego comes. And if you look at it, there is no activity that you can do that you can say I started it. Even if you start a company or a firm, but there is so much, you know, knowledge. You have got knowledge from your teachers, then you have taken knowledge from the community, you have collected the resources, you have collected so many employees, you have collected the know-how from the, you know, scientists and from the architects and from the engineers. So many people participate, and ultimately the Lord is the one. And even if you say I started a computer company, but you are just one. Computers were started in the 1950s or 60s. So in that process where computers were working, somewhere along the way, you had an opportunity to participate in that and create a company which expanded the computer knowledge. That's good. But to think that I started it, there is nothing. Like we can say we started this Chinmaya mission. No. The Chinmaya mission started when Gurudev Swami Chinmayananda started teaching in 1950. But does he think I started it? No. Our prayer that we always chant is Yada Sadashiva Samarambham Shankaracharya Madhyamam Asmadacharya Paryantam Vande Guru Paramparam. So he says this knowledge, this spiritual knowledge that we are all talking about, we are discussing in the Bhagavad Gita, started from the Lord, Sadashiva Samarambham. Shiva, the Lord, or Krishna, or the Brahman, is the Lord from whom this knowledge started, and then it came down to Shankaracharya, whom we adore as the proponent of Vedanta, who spread this knowledge, and then Asmadacharya and our Acharya, Swami Chinmayananda or Swami Ishwarananda. So we prostrate to the tradition of Guru Shishya Parampara, the tradition of teacher and taught. And so this knowledge is, that's why they call it Sanatan. It is ancient. So anybody thinks that if I started anything, then that is ego. So a person who is Rajasic has this great ego about doership, that I am doing it, I am so great. And because of that, there is constant restlessness. Ashama. He's restless. He cannot rest in peace. And we'll talk about that in the next point. And restlessness. And then once he has developed this desire for wanting more and more, then there is a thirst. It's like when you are in the desert and you don't get water, and then you are thirsty, and finally you reach an oasis and somebody hands you a glass of cold water, how you feel? That kind of thirst this individual has, where his mind is so focused on possessing, acquiring, getting, that nothing can stop. So that is called thirst. And how does the restlessness manifest? One activity to another. You tell this person, you know, start this project, or he himself, I'm very fascinated by this project. So he will start. And then midway, he gets very bored. You know, this is not good enough. I'm more qualified. But he will leave that project halfway, take a second one. And then second one, after a while, he gets third one and fourth one. He keeps accumulating projects, but never finishes them. Why? Because his mind is so restless, always running ahead and never. And we find all great achievers, they had one goal in life, one important goal, like, you know, like Newton with the law of gravity. Why did the apple fall? He spent years thinking about that and asking people and doing research. You look at any of the great writers, the great scientists, the great achievers. Look at Bill Gates. You know, he had one goal, that I'm going to make, you know, a new program, make a new company. So people who are successful are focused, and they decide, this is my goal in life, and this is what I'm going to achieve. It does not mean that they are very narrow, but they are focused and they keep doing it till they reach success. They don't end in the middle. But a Rajasic person runs from one activity to the other. Another symptom of Rajas is workaholism. You talk to these people, or there are others who will do all the projects. They won't end it, but they will keep on taking more and more. I am so tired. You say, why? You know, I have this project, and then I have that project, and I have... Why are you taking all these projects? If I don't do it, nobody will do it. You know, and then now this other one has come. I'm going to do that too. But, you know, I get tired, I have a headache, and I have high blood pressure, and I'm stressed, and I'm going to the psychiatrist. Who told you? Nobody has sympathy, because and then you tell him, you delegate this work. Okay, you have taken four projects. Find four managers and you assign them, and then you super. No, you don't know how hard it is to find help. If I don't do it, it'll never be done. And so he will never delegate. He will keep on taking more. He will work morning to night, and then he'll get stressed. He'll get, because see, after all, everybody comes with the same 24 hours. Everybody has the same capabilities. If you take on more, we are not saying that you should not work hard, but the work should be, we'll talk about it, how do you channel this work? Even a Rajasic person, how he can become Sattvic, how can you channel this work, this energy in a positive way, we'll talk at the end. So he becomes workaholic, and he's always trying to acquire more and more. Another symptom of Rajas is the end justifies the means. He says, look, my goal is this. Whatever means I need to adopt, I will. Honest, dishonest, moral, immoral. cheating people, lying, hurting, as long as I get my goal. And sometimes they may have a good goal. Okay, I want to, you know, build a community service project. Okay, that is good. But in the process, if you are hurting others, if you are cheating, if you are lying, if you are collecting money dishonestly. So they say the end justifies the means. They say, no, if the means are wrong, even if the goal is right, it is wrong. You cannot have wrong means even to have a high goal. They say it's not only the goal that is important, but along the path, how do you practice your values? Mahatma Gandhi very clearly expressed that. He said, for the freedom of my country, I'm not going to use violence. I'm not going to, you know, he stuck to his principle. He said, doesn't matter however long it takes, because, you know, you can say, well, you can fight or you can, you know, but he said, no, I'm not going to use wrong means to get the right goal. Like some people say, you know, we are fighting this war to achieve peace. You know, that's a very, very good argument. After this war, when the enemy is destroyed, we'll have peace. War can never achieve peace. War only achieves more war. If you want peace, you have to start with peace. You have to yourself be a peaceful person. That's very interesting. You know, people always use that the war will achieve peace. It's not. If you want to achieve peace, you have to have the right means. Because if you fight and if you subjugate somebody or you kill them, you think that other, you know, children and others will tolerate it? No, they will come back and fight with you more. But if you can win the hearts of people and work with it. So the end is as important. Of course, one should have the right goal, honest goal. But the means that are adopted should also be the right means. Somebody said, Rajasic people are like a garbage truck. So I think we fit that category very well. So why? It's a very interesting description, because here, garbage truck. Now, what does it do? If there's a sign says frequent stops, right? Yeah. So frequently it will stop. It will go some distance, then stop, then pick up something, then go some distance, stop. A Rajasic person is like that. He will go to one bar, have a couple of drinks, then go to another bar. He will have more drinks, or he will do this work and then he will like stop for a while. So he's always stopping and collecting and accumulating, and there is never any end to. And also, you know, just as a garbage truck collects dirt, so his mind is full of dirt, full of negativity, dishonesty, because that is how his life is, from one activity to another, one bar to another, one in a house to another, one country to another. He's continuously moving. It reminds me of a joke. This guy goes to the Hallmark shop and he says, I want a Valentine card. So the man shows him a card and says, you know, to my dearest darling, the one I love the most, more than anybody else in this world. And nice heart and an arrow and all. He says, yeah, this card is very good. I like it. Give me 12 of them. That is the garbage truck. It stops different places. So that is what. Baithiya. 12 baje ab. Abhi when I end. Ha, 11:30 baje. Baithiya. So his thinking is like that, as we said, never stopping, but constantly on and on, moving. Why? Because of his greed, his egocentric activities. Then what does it result in? It results in tension. As we said, the stress, you increase your stress. If you are working with that selfish attitude, and then if I get what I want, then I want more. If I don't get what I want, then I get anger, I get hatred, I get jealousy, I get competition, I'm fighting, hurting people. So his life is full of stress. He's not only he hurts people, you know, enemies, even his own family, because he hardly sees them. And when he sees them, he's so stressed. And life in his home is full of stress. Gurudev says even the walls in his house are stressed. You know why? Because he'll start painting from one side of the room, go, and to the other side of the room, and he will finish painting. And then 6 months later, I don't like this color. So he will start from that side. So even the walls in his house don't get any rest. So there is constant tension in him and in his surroundings. So what is the solution? You know, we already gave the problem. Okay, rajasic person has this problem, that. So what is the solution? The solution is that when you have too much energy, you know, we all have a lot of energy and we all want to accomplish, succeed, right? So there are two things you can do with energy. Either you can express it or you can suppress it. See, if I have a desire to eat or drink or acquire things or sex or whatever, I have a strong desire, either I can fully express it, khao piyo maja karo, enjoy life, you know, what is left. So you keep on enjoying, indulging, you know, expressing the energy fully. So what happens? Then you create bad habits. You get fatigued, overeating, over drinking, overworking, over enjoying. That creates problems. You say, no, that's not good. I'm going to suppress the desire. I have the desire, but I'm not going to do it. So you forcefully suppress the desire. That also creates problems because the desire is like a spring. You keep pushing it, pushing it, pushing it. One fine day, it will let loose. And then a desire which has been forcefully suppressed, when that expresses, then that becomes horrible, you know. And unfortunately, we see that in so many times in priests and some, you know, who molest children or even other people, you know, these kind of activities where the desire, and it happens in all the faiths, it's not only in Christianity or Catholic, where people who have suppressed their desires forcefully, ultimately one day comes when they express it and then it comes out in a very bad form. So they say you cannot suppress it, you cannot express it. Then what to do? You know, what to do? So Gurudev and other acharyas say you direct the desire in a sattvic. I have a desire, I have a lot of rajas, I have a lot of energy. Direct it in sattvic means. Start doing, instead of doing activities egocentric, selfish, direct it in unselfish activities. Direct it in activities dedicated to the Lord. I still do the same amount of work, but now my activity is pure because it is unselfish, it is directed to the Lord, it is devoted to Him. And instead of having a desire for more objects, you say, I have a desire, I'm going to use my desire for sattvic. Okay, yesterday I meditated half an hour, today I'm going to meditate 1 hour. Yesterday I read, you know, did Vishnu Sahasranam 2 times, today I'm going to do 3 times. So your greed and your desire, you transfer that to unselfish activities. Instead of wanting to acquire the world, I want to reach God. So that energy, that rajas that you have, when it is directed in a positive direction, it becomes sattvic. So that same energy, that same activity can become pure, can become sattvic, if it is channeled properly. So that's what they say, do not suppress, do not express, but redirect it or channel it in a positive direction. Gurudev also said that one has to be very alert. Of course, here we have automatic shift, but in India, when you drive a stick shift, what happens is, you know, you have to, when the car speeds up, you have to shift from the lower gear to the higher gear. And then when the car slows down, then if you don't shift to the lower gear, the car stalls. So initially, somebody has to tell you, who is teaching you, okay, move to the higher shift, move to the lower gear. But after a while, you become automatic. You know, okay, car is speeding, so I have to go from third to fourth gear. When car is slowing down, fourth to third and second. So similarly, a person should constantly be alert in his mind that my mind is now has too much rajas, too much selfishness. I need to be alert. And now let me bring sattva. Let me change the gear of my mind from rajas to sattva. Or if I am in tamas, I am very lazy and not doing much, I move it to rajas. And then from rajas, I move it to sattva. So you have to constantly be alert and know what is the condition of my mind. And as far as possible, keep it as much as possible in sattvic. Even when I'm working in the world, you say, it's very hard to remember the Lord. But as far as possible, keep your mind on Him. Do work unselfishly. So that same rajas can be transferred to Sattva. And some of these great prophets had tremendous energy. Look at Gurudev, Swami Chinmayananda, how much energy he had. He slept only 3 hours. He worked 21 hours a day. So that tremendous energy that he had, he channeled it for the benefit of all of us. Look at Swami Vivekananda, how much energy he had, what a dynamic person he was. But this dynamism, this energy, they used it for sattvic means. So this is a summary of this verse we have done. There is a lot more can be spoken, but does anybody have a very quick comment about this?
Rajasthan could be a combination of
topics. So the Rajas is there, but it is strongly taken over by Sattva. So the energy is there, but it is used in a sattvic. Sattvic person does not mean he sits lazily and does nothing. Sattvic person accomplishes a lot, but without getting fatigued, because there is no I and me and mine. It is him working through me. So he may still be working, but it is pure energy. It is directed in the right fashion. Yes. They do have, so it does not mean that a sattvic person is a useless person, sits and does nothing. No, he accomplishes a lot, but without the eye and mind. And his mind is calm when he's working, because there is no egocentric desire, there is no selfishness. He's working for the benefit of all. So his mind is always centered in the higher. So, yes. But you're right, we are a mixture of things. You cannot be only one or the other. Pure sattva cannot exist. Sattva has to be mixed with rajas to work. Yes.
And tamas to rest or no?
Tamas to rest, yeah. At the end of the day, you need tamas to rest, obviously, to fall asleep. But what is the predominant guna in your life that is controlling your life? Are you a tamasic individual, rajasic, or a sattvic? What is the predominant guna? That is what determines.
I mean, are you saying that the more sattvic you become, the less sleep?
No. True. If you meditate, people who meditate and have their mind centered on the higher, they actually don't need sleep. They say 1 hour of meditation is equal to 3 or 4 hours of sleep. So if you meditate and if your mind is stationed in the higher, you actually need less sleep. Also with age, we need less sleep, but that is true. But it does not mean that you have to, from tomorrow, start sleeping less. We are not saying that is a sign of sattva. It does not mean a person who sleeps 6 hours is not sattvic. That's not the idea. That's not. The point is that whenever I am awake, as much as possible, I should be working with a sattvic attitude. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, of course, if you need 6-7 hours of sleep, I agree with you that, that is most people need that. But there are many individuals who actually can manage with very little sleep. Yes. The vasanas, so whether you have tamasic, rajasic or sattvic vasanas, that determines the kind of actions. That determines your attitude in the mind and the intellect, your ideas, your thoughts, and ultimately your action. So the vasana. So you have to change the direction of your vasanas. Yes.
Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha, Sarve Santu Nidamayaha, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Akashit Dukkhabhagavi. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Hari Om Shri Guru.